Good morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on its fifth Sunday of Lent. We are joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our musical director, Dave Valerio, and our youth pastor, Reverend Glenn Roundsville. So Glenn, would you please call us to worship?
O God, author of eternal light, send forth your spirit upon us so that our lips may praise you, that our lives may bless you, and our meditations glorify you as we call ourselves to worship. Gracious God, whoever leads us from darkness to light, may our gathering and worship be for each of us a way to say no to the darkness around us, even as we watch and work, dream and hunger for the dawning of a new day. May we always act as children of the day, strong in the confidence that nothing can hide you from us forever. We acknowledge that as we pray the prayer you taught us, saying,
Our Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Thank you, Glenn, very much. Next Sunday, believe it or not, is Palm Sunday. It is also Family Sunday. Is there anyone that wants to say anything more about that being Family Sunday? Sherilyn, I can see your face. Just nod your head or shake your head if you don't want to say something.
Oh, sure. I can say something. I mean, next week as part of, Family Sunday, it's also Palm Sunday, and we are going to be trying to do a little palm parade. The kids will be making palms, but we invite anyone in the congregation, if you want to make a palm and participate in our virtual palm parade, we would totally welcome that, and would encourage you to do that.
Okay. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Maundy Thursday is the following Thursday, of course, April 1st. We will have our traditional service at 7:30 p.m. And communion will be celebrated, so make the usual preparations at home with bread or a cracker, something like grape juice, if you wish to join in the sacrament. In any event, you can join in spiritually. Easter morning, there will be a sunrise service at 6 a.m. at Capron Park under the shelter. Mr. Dave will be the musician, as he has done for many years now, and masks and social distancing will be observed. The next family feast Friday is the Friday after Easter, featuring clam cakes and a bowl of New England style clam chowder. You pay at the time of pickup, it's $10 each, and curbside is available. You should pre-order by 12 noon on Tuesday, April 6th, and orders are being accepted now as well. Are there any other announcements that anyone wishes to make? Feel free to unmute yourself and make that announcement. All right, hearing no one else, then Mr. Dave, would you introduce your music to us?
Yes, good morning, everybody. It was the opening hymn was Sweet Hour of Prayer. And the song that we're going to sing together is Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee. It's number 89. If you do have a hymnal, if you don't have a hymnal, if you go to the chat section, the bar down at the bottom, and hit on chat, you'll find the lyrics in the chat section. And it's three verses. So we're going to sing three verses of Joyful, Joyful, We Adore Thee.
Of sin and sadness, drive the dark of doubt away. Giver of immortal gladness, fill us with the light of day. All thy works with joy surround thee, earth and heaven reflect the rays. Stars and angels sing around thee, center of unbroken praise. Field and forest, vale and mountain, flowery meadow, flashing sea, chanting bird and flowing fountain, call us to rejoice in thee. Portals join the mighty chorus which the morning stars began. Love divine is reigning over us, binding all within its span. Ever singing, march we onward, victors in the midst of strife. Joyful music leads us onward in the triumph song of life.
Thank you for that, Mr. Dave. This is the time we share our celebrations. Do any of you have a celebration you would like to share? Please feel free to unmute yourself and call it out. Go ahead, Sandy.
Today is my son's birthday. He would have been 48.
Oh, wow. Madison, unmute yourself. Just unmute yourself. I can't see you all. So if I wait for hands to be raised, we won't see you.
I would love to celebrate. I got my second vaccine.
Yay.
Yay.
That is worth celebrating. Absolutely. Good. Good for you.
And today is my mom's birthday. She would have been 96.
Oh, how nice. How nice. I remember her well. Anyone else? If not, then let us turn to our concerns as a church family. We pray this morning, of course, for people who are ill, others in need of prayer for any reason, including these people. We pray for Loretta, for Jennifer, for Sue, who is going to be going into Dana-Farber many days this week and beginning her treatment, beginning to plan for it. Richard, who I think is home now, which is good to see, for Bert, that's Julie Goss's brother-in-law. Ed asked me to pray for many members of his family. He has had four tragedies in his family this past week. Janet is back in the hospital, although she may be home by now as well. Sue LaFortune had surgery last week. She is still in a Boston hospital. We pray for Marie, for Lee, that's Tyson Bull's sister, for Jane and her family, for Brigitte, for Len, who is at home in hospice, and we pray for Nancy as well. For Bob Avoy and Sister Marge, who is undergoing treatment. For Corinne, for Kristen, who is having a shoulder problem. For the Bishop Fan hockey player, AJ. For Tyler, and we've been asked for prayers for Caitlin. For those who are in the nursing homes or assisted living, we pray for Jackie and for Carolyn. who is now living in assisted living in Newton. And of course, we continue to pray for all of the people who are suffering from COVID-19. It seems we are on an uptick, especially here in Massachusetts, as well as all our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions, and we pray for the well-being of our nation as we pray for our communities facing these difficult days together. So please join with me in a moment of prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. And of course, you may raise up voices during this silent time of silence for people's names. Let us pray. Loving Creator of all humanity, hear our prayers for whom, all of whom you love and for whom you sent your Son to be the light of the world. Dispel the darkness still found in the earth. Help us defeat this pandemic which threatens the whole world. Destroy every godless and oppressive power and bind all the nations together in justice and peace. And look favorably upon our nation and its leaders. Save them and us from the love of power that leads to self-worship and false pride. Give wisdom to us as we deal with issues of hatred, racism, greed, arrogance, and other oppressive attitudes that affect those who are poor and struggling, who cannot afford a roof over their heads or who worry about their next meal. So we ask that you would bless all organizations and people like Project Bread and Lenoa's Pantry and Food and Friends who are in the front lines of feeding those who are hungry and not certain where that next meal may be coming from. Be present to the prayers of those who struggle due to poverty, sickness, or mental health. We ask your healing presence to be with those whose names we have heard mentioned, and be mindful of others in need, whose names we call out now in your presence at this time of silence. Bless, O Lord, your church in the world and right here in Attleboro Falls, that its unity and holiness may be a shining beacon to others. Lord of all life, we praise and thank you for all our companions in the faith who have finished the race and who now serve you beyond our sight. Strengthen us to carry on their tasks and reunite us all in your kingdom. For it is in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ, that we ask these things. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way. He will take care of you. God will take care of you.
Good morning. In John's Gospel, Jesus has entered Jerusalem to the acclaim of the crowds a few days before. It was 6 days before the celebration of the Jewish Passover, and crowds from all over the known world were gathering for the celebration. I'll be reading from the Gospel according to John, chapter 12, verses 20 through 33. Please hear these words. Now, among those who went up to worship at the festival were some Greeks. They came to Philip, who was from Bethsaida in Galilee, and said to him, "Sir, we wish to see Jesus." Philip went and told Andrew. Then Andrew and Philip went and told Jesus. Jesus answered them, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. Very truly, I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit. Those who love their life lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor. Now my soul is troubled, and what should I say? Father, save me from this hour? No, it is for this reason that I have come to this hour. Father, glorify your name." Then a voice came from heaven. "I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again." The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said, an angel had spoken to him. Jesus answered, this voice has come for your sake, not for mine. Now is the judgment of this world. Now the ruler of this world will be driven out. And I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all people to myself. He said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. I think I've told you before that one of my favorite theologians is Charles Schultz. Charles Schultz was a Presbyterian, a good Presbyterian. He was a Sunday school teacher, very active in his church. He also happened to draw the Peanuts cartoon. And I just still love to go back to those Peanuts because he was a very Christian man and he always had a message in there for us. There's a cartoon from years ago. It's Charlie Brown says to a friend, I learned something in school today. I signed up for folk guitar, computer programming, stained glass, art, shoemaking, and a natural foods workshop. But then he continues, he said, I got spelling, history, arithmetic, and two study periods. So Charlie's friend asks him, so what did you learn? And he replied, I learned that what you sign up for and what you get are often two different things. I think that lesson could be applied to an awful lot of things in life, couldn't it? How often do our expectations and our experiences clash? How often do we sign up for one thing and receive something entirely different? I imagine Jesus' disciples felt that way all of the time. Jesus was always surprising them. They zigged, he zagged. Every time the disciples thought they had Jesus figured out, pinned down, he did something unpredictable that sent their expectations into a tailspin once again. As the gospel reading today that Wayne read to us said, it was 6 days before the celebration of the Passover. Passover was a massive celebration in Jerusalem. Think of those pictures we may have seen this morning of spring break in Miami Beach. Oh my goodness. It was something like that in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover. Josephus, who was the famous Jewish historian of that day, estimated that over 2 million people were attracted to the great Passover feast in Jerusalem. Devout Jews from all around the Mediterranean came to offer their sacrifices to God and pay their half shekel temple tax. We're told that during that feast, often there were 256,500 lambs who were slain on one such Passover, and that each lamb represented at least 10 worshipers. So you can see what kind of a large crowd there was present. We're told then that among them were those who came from Rome and Persia, Syria, Egypt, and even Greece. As our lesson begins, Jesus is in Bethany, where Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived. Bethany was a small village about 1.5 miles from Jerusalem. This was some time after Jesus had raised Lazarus from the dead. In gratitude, Mary and Martha were throwing a dinner in Jesus' honor. Lazarus, of course, was there alive and well and in the flesh, as we say. A large crowd of Jews found out that Passover that Jesus was also in Jerusalem. And they came not only because they wanted to see him, but they also wanted to see Lazarus. Lazarus had become somewhat of a celebrity. We can imagine the tabloid headlines, Bethany resident, first man to be raised from the dead. Since the beginning of his ministry, Jesus had a rock star kind of following. The raising of Lazarus did nothing to discourage that. As one of the Pharisees said to a colleague, look how the whole world has gone after him. What did his disciples think of all the people? They probably thought something along these lines, hey, this is great. This is great. Our discipleship is finally going to pay off. We're going to get some respect around here. All our hard work and sacrifice, it's beginning to pay off. People are coming around to Jesus' view of things. It's time to begin campaigning for that new kingdom and that the master's always talking about. It's time to get our candidate's message out there. And what better place to do it than in Jerusalem, the largest and most cosmopolitan city in the region during the busiest time of the year. Yeah, Jesus is savvy. He knows exactly how to work a crowd. He must have planned this all along. In the disciples' minds, this was the hour of victory, the day they had been waiting for, and their expectations were only heightened when they heard Jesus say those words, "The hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified." Yes, that's it. Finally, they are on the same page with Jesus. This fit perfectly with all they had been waiting for. But then Jesus zigs where they expected a zag. "Very truly," he said, "I tell you, unless a grain of wheat falls into the earth and dies, it remains just a single grain. But if it dies, it bears much fruit." What does that mean? If it fails, if it falls, if it dies, what in the world is he talking about? But he doesn't stop there. He says, those who love their life will lose it, and those who hate their life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Oh no, they think with chagrin. Here we go again. And suddenly the disciples get that sinking feeling in the pit of their stomachs. Why does Jesus have to make it all so hard? He's never been more powerful or more popular than he is now. Why can't he leave well enough alone? Can't he just muster up a rebel army and take over the throne and name himself king? This is the man who can walk on water and raise the dead. Why doesn't he use that power just a little bit for his own ends? But before the disciples can distance themselves from Jesus' words, he confronts them. "Whoever serves me must follow me, and where I am, there will my servant be also. Whoever serves me, the Father will honor." Now the disciples are really starting to sweat. And those of us listening to those words today, if we are really listening to those words, we'd be sweating too. Whoever serves me must follow me. We look at Jesus' promises of eternal life and unimaginable glory and say, "Sure, God, I'll follow you there." But when we face Jesus' command to serve the poor and the needy, to go out into all the world and spread his message, to take up our cross and die to it as well as follow Jesus, suddenly we're not so sure. But now Jesus' followers know that they must make a decision. The disciples are beginning to see that they had expected one thing, and they were getting something very, very different than the earthly glory they imagined. The next passage is one of the more interesting mini passages in the Bible. After Jesus declares, "Father, glorify your name," we read these words. "Then a voice came from heaven, 'I have glorified it, and I will glorify it again.'" And then notice the intriguing words. "The crowd standing there heard it and said that it was thunder. Others said an angel had spoken to him." That's interesting, isn't it? Some people were ready to hear God's words. Others heard only noise and thunder. Which would we have heard? So we're looking at our lives right now. Maybe we expected one thing but got something else, like a pandemic. That doesn't mean that we're not in the center of God's will. It just means that our ways are not God's ways, and we will probably never understand God's ways. What could those disciples have been thinking? They were filled with uncertainty. We know from the story that Judas would go on to betray Jesus and Peter would deny ever even knowing him. We know that Judas did not live to see the resurrection. And ancient records tell us that most of Jesus' disciples were persecuted and eventually killed for their faith. But we know that their deaths were not in vain. It is from their blood and sacrifice that the early church was formed. And 2,000 years later, people like you and me are still gathering every week in churches, whether it be in sanctuaries or in front of electronic devices, all over the world to celebrate the message that they first told. What do we do when life does not turn out as we expected? We hold on to God's promises and Jesus Christ as we travel together through the season of Lent. And may we open ourselves to God's presence, and may we hear angels' voices and not just noise and thunder. Amen. Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Once again, thank you all for coming to worship this morning. We're going to dismiss Dave because he has to go and get his shot at Gillette. Dave, thank you for all you've done.
Right, you're welcome. I'll see you guys with your palms next Sunday, okay?
Okay.
Everybody, don't forget your palms.
See you
not
then.
Not pom-poms, palms.
And not these palms.
Yeah. See you, everybody. Have a good week.
You too.